Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Kill this.
Birdie num num.
Hello.
Birdie num num.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Hello, how are you? And welcome back to another episode of the Birdie Num Num Podcast, BNN, inspiring creativity after engineering, because your life begins after engineering. And if you're like me, you are always looking for creative outlets and ways to express yourself beyond the spreadsheet and the VLOOKUPs. And ladies and gentlemen, Sanjay Manigtala here. We have a nice open dialogue every week, you and I. And on that note, I want to do something a little different this week. I would like to take a particular theme to discuss, because I was thinking about this in the bathroom where I think of you guys. And basically, as you can tell from the title of the episode, is this week I want to talk about jokes. And don't worry, I don't want to talk about stand-up comedy and the art of comedy and yada, yada, yada. I specifically want to talk about how jokes can help you, my dear listener, my dear avid podcast listener, every week on the Birdie Num Num Podcast. By the way, I'm having a good week. I hope you also are having a good week. So in today's episode, we're going to talk about jokes, and specifically, what can jokes do for you? Now, a lot of people, as they might know, in India, where a lot of my listeners are, stand-up comedy is booming. Humor is a part of life. Humor is something that, after sex, sells the most, okay? So what can we learn from jokes, okay? I'm going to basically lay this out like a listicle, because that's how I was thinking about it. But we live in a time right now where everyone does not have attention. Attention is the one thing that I feel you cannot manufacture more of, okay? Like, hey, you want to know where to focus your attention? Focus it on your attention. Get it? Okay, like, we are so distracted. I myself am included. And so, number one, like, what can jokes do for you, okay? Keep it short. We always talk about in stand-up comedy and in joke writing and in humor writing, cut the fat, trim it down, keep it short, okay? If you're telling a joke about something, there's no need to add unnecessary details. And in life, you also have to keep it short. Right now, attention is so scarce. It's so hard to get your message across, whether you're talking about running a Facebook ad or trying to grab somebody's attention or trying to get somebody to install an app or even tell your friend a story or even show somebody a YouTube video. You know, hey, man, you got to watch this video. It's so funny. And that person is like, where's the funny part? And you're just staring at them, like, it's going to be good, dude. Don't worry about it. It's going to be great. It's funny, right? It's funny. I'm sure some of you would have showed some of your friends my videos or my podcast and be like, I don't get it. Like, can I go back to what I was doing? So in comedy and in joke writing, we say that it's very important to keep it short. And in your life, I think we can all agree, whether you're doing an elevator pitch, for those of you who don't know what an elevator pitch is, it's, hey, explain your app to me in literally the time it takes to go from one level to the 10th level, right? Literally a minute. How would you explain your idea? And a lot of people these days, whenever they have an idea, whenever they're trying to communicate to a girl they like them or a guy they like them, if they're trying to reflect an opinion on a Facebook post, they're just so wordy and extra, and they're so fat about how much other details they're adding, as opposed to with joke writing and in life. Keep it short, keep it simple, all right? If I'm trying to tell a joke about a fight my wife and I had, which thankfully, touch wood, we don't really fight that much. by the way, there was a hilarious, I'm going to put a screenshot in the video for this if you're looking. But it was like this hilarious tweet that I wish I could retweet it twice. Like, this girl posted like, people on Instagram, marriage is so great. We fight all the time, but there's nothing like a nice, strong love marriage. I hate my husband. And it was just so, I'm thankful that I hope I'm not in that space anytime soon. But people are like, we know so many people like this who are in these toxic relationships. And it's just like, why are you in it? And I know you have kids and, you know, you picked your partner and the going gets tough. Don't quit. But I feel like on social media, a lot of the times the people who are the loudest about this stuff are the worst ones. But anyways, not to judge, but with joke writing, as I talked about, ironically, you need to keep things short. Okay, so we live in a time right now where everyone is like literally trying to communicate so many things. And I guarantee you, as you're trying to communicate whatever it might be, whether you're trying to sell yourself or your company or your family or your friends, tighter, tighter, tighter. We've all tried to write that essay or that blog post or make that video and tried to just add extra words and extra fluff. But trust me, that is going to hurt you these days way more than it's going to help you. Number two, write it down. Okay. Now, I've also written it down because I was thinking about this stuff and it was really important that I talk to you guys about this week. I was reading this book and I forgot the book already, but they were saying, or listening to a podcast maybe, I don't know. And he was saying a lot of times we stress ourselves out because what we do is we carry, okay, I got to get milk, or okay, I got to write that blog post or do that assignment or send that email back, or I got to finish that PowerPoint presentation, and I need to do this thing for SEO, and I need to learn this thing on this YouTube tutorial or whatever. And we carry that stuff around our heads as opposed to just writing it down. I'm not saying have a productivity list and do all these crazy things. I'm just saying the physical act of writing something down kind of frees up your mind space, whether or not you ever check that list, but just knowing that you wrote it down gives you a sense of ease, like, okay, even if I forget it, I know it's somewhere on like a piece of paper. And in comedy and in joke writing, one of the reasons it's so hard to date or marry a comedian is because we are taught very early in our comedy careers to always carry a notepad, or these days our cell phone, to write things down. The amount of times I have literally, and the weird thing about the comedy brain is you think of ideas at like 1 a.m., 2 a.m., right before you're about to fall asleep. And as anybody with a blue light filter knows, checking your phone in the middle of the night right before bed is literally telling yourself you're going to be awake now for another 10 minutes because you just got that shot of light, whatever it is, right? And you're just like staring at your phone. But what I do now is I keep a notepad by the bed. I keep my phone away, so I have that peace of mind to know that if I thought of something funny, it's going to be right there in the morning for me to remember. And you'll think you're going to remember it. You're not. So I've learned, like, I keep these index cards with me all the time around the house now. I mean, by the way, nobody uses index cards anymore, but I feel like they're such lifesavers for the cost of like barbecue sauce. I don't know. They're literally one of my favorite things, but I write stuff down all the time now. Grocery list, things I got to do, things I want to do. And in joke writing, we do that all the time, but that helps us to just have peace of mind to continue and get these jokes done. And I'm pretty sure it'll help you. So I know a lot of you guys and girls are just on your phones all the time making to-do lists on these apps like Keep and Evernote and all that stuff. But dude, there's nothing better than pen and paper. So whatever you're trying to do creative-wise or personally-wise or family-wise, trust me, it's so hipster, it's so retro. I posted this thing that I was asking somebody, like, yo, what's your favorite productivity app? And they're like, oh, paper. And you're like, huh, what? Like, I've never heard of it. That sounds cool. Is it on the app? So I was like, no, like, real paper. You know what I mean? Like, I use a pen and a paper like a hipster, but I love it, and I love it. And please, if you take anything away from my podcast this week, I want some of you to just start writing stuff again and just try it for a day or two. You don't have to buy a fancy notebook, write on a napkin, write on your hand, write anywhere, but there's something special about it, and I think you guys will really feel it. Number three, okay, we talked about keeping it short, cutting the fat. We talked about writing stuff down. Number three, what I love about joke writing that will be important for a lot of you, again, whether dating, professional, social, personal, is relatability. All right, you'll never hear a comedian be like, two Martians were on Jupiter, and then one said to the other, oh, are they molecular? It's like, what? I don't understand what you're talking about. And in joke writing and in comedy, we learn at a very young age, again, in our careers, is to be relatable. I'm not saying pander. I'm not saying, what's up with Gujaratis and Diwali is like this and middle class is like that. You can do a joke about aliens, but it should ultimately be about humans. You know what I mean? Like, I'm watching Star Trek right now, like the crappiest one. I think it's called Enterprise, the one with that guy from Quantum Leap, if anybody knows. But I love Star Trek, and I know I might lose some of you, but the reason I love Star Trek is, although it's about aliens, it's ultimately about how humans are. So, like, they'll meet some aliens, and those aliens are racist to the other aliens, and you're like, oh, humans are racist towards each other, or, oh, those aliens treat their young differently, or they actually look up to their young, which is a weird concept, but, oh, we should actually enable our kids to do more, and yada yada. So in joke writing, if it's a joke about marriage or a joke about your maid or a joke about working in an office, ultimately that's relatable and people are laughing because they reflect on their own crappy boss or on their own marriage or dating fails or whatever it might be, right? So whatever you're doing, again, relatability definitely helps. If you're posting, why are memes so popular these days, all right? What is a meme? You might think a meme is just something silly. No, a meme of like a dog like chasing somebody and then somebody adds the caption, you know, me trying to get my last bit of vacation time, or me when the bartender says last call. That's the relatability, even though you're looking at a meme of a dog. It's not about dogs. It's about you, bro. So make whatever you're doing in communication in 2019 or 2020 relatable. Okay. Number four. No, I wasn't silent on purpose. I was using silence. And that's what we do in comedy. It's timing. Timing, guys. Timing is the way to go. No, I'm still here. I was just using timing again. See, like, I had this quote, and I'm sure it's not mine, but I thought of it, and I didn't Google it to see if anybody else said it, but I wish it was, but I'm sure somebody has said it before. But basically, the loudest thing is silence. And I think we know this. I think people in relationships for over a year, they know this. The loudest thing can be silence. Like when you mess up and your mom is angry at you, or your wife is angry at you, or your girlfriend is angry at you, or your boyfriend is angry at you. But what do they say? Like, oh, I'm not angry. I'm disappointed. And then they don't talk to you for like a while, right? Like we all, I think a lot of my friends growing up, their mom found like pot or like drugs or something. And then the mom didn't even beat them up like and shout and scream and all of that. They just didn't talk to them for like a week. And they're like, my beta has grown up. Or like the mom found like something that's called protection or whatever. You know what I mean? And like literally just changed their opinion of their kids. And then the kid was even more affected. He's like, no, yell at me, scream at me. Right? Be angry because that's what I'm used to and that's a normal reaction. But in comedy, we say that learn how to use silences, learn how to let the audience breathe, learn how to let them catch up, learn how to let them understand. And drama, tension, you watch, like I talk a lot on this podcast because I'm still not comfortable with innate silence. But if you look at a Netflix show or like a really good Oscar movie or Joker I was watching, which I love Joker, by the way, okay? Hey, this was about writing jokes and we're talking about the movie Joker right now. Imagine, right? So I didn't even plan that, you guys. I love Joker. Some of you are going to be like, oh, that movie sucked and it was a ripoff of Taxi and yada yada. And dude, I forgot that it's okay to have your own opinion about stuff, and it's okay if somebody didn't like the movie Joker. I loved it, maybe because I'm a stand-up comedian and I love the whole sad clown sort of reality of it, but I thought they used silence perfectly. They built tension. They let you understand what the characters are going through rather than just spoon-feeding you. Blah! Rather than just spoon-feeding you to be like, he's angry, he's upset. You watched it. You thought, you anticipated, you were on your toes. Why are horror movies so engaging that you can't look away? Because of silence. When a horror movie is too much talking and look out, he's coming, oh my God, I'm going to take a shower, like whatever, you're like, no. But when there is drama and tension and release of tension, and that's what a lot of laughter is, right? Laughter is nothing but a release of tension to provoke, da 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 da. But there is suspense and irony and humor and surprise. And I think you can learn that in anything that you're doing, right? So you know what some of the most boring speeches are? The ones where somebody is just nonstop talking, and then we did this, and then we did this, and then we did this. Or when somebody comes out, I know I said write it down, but some people, my next point is they don't memorize anything, okay? A lot of, like, have you ever seen a public speaker or a presentation and somebody is just reading off the slides, or somebody has index cards, but you know they're not going to forget a single word, and then you're just so bored because all they're doing is And then I realized I should do this. And then we decided the market headwinds of the forces of the blah, blah, blah. Like, no, right? So learn how to use silence. Learn how to use pausing in communication, in talking, in fighting, in relationships, in selling, in advertising. Learn. Dude, even Facebook, if you try to run a Facebook ad, they tell you less text because they want you to be more creative visually. And even on video, they want you to let things breathe. So I know you're like, here's the crazy part of our society. You need to grab somebody's attention in like under 5 seconds, but you also need to know once you have that attention, how to keep it and how to use it. And the way to keep it is not to keep shouting, but to let it breathe. Yeah. Woo. Okay. So we talked about, what have we talked about so far? Writing it down. We talked about keeping it short, relatable. I'm reading off right now. Memorization. Okay. Here's the crazy thing about joke writing or comedy. I feel a lot of times in our society, people don't ask the right questions. And it's not, you know, how do I get a girlfriend? It's actually, how do I get in shape? Or how do I, and if you don't want to be in shape, that's fine. I'm not trying to get on like the body shaming bandwagon or whatever. But, or how do I be funnier? It's maybe it's not that. It's how do I memorize things more? It's not how do I get more confidence, because how do you get more confidence? No, it's how do I become a better public speaker? Oh, how do I become a better public speaker? That's actually how do I memorize things easier? Because if I memorize things easier, then I'm going to be able to make eye contact better rather than looking down. And if I memorize things easier, I will be a better public speaker because I will have it more ingrained in my head and naturally I'll project more confidence, which ultimately gives me that view of how do I be more confident, right? So I know that was kind of a roundabout way of saying it, but ultimately, okay, you need to learn how to ask the right questions, and comedy does that a lot, okay? One of the best things stand-up and joke writing did for me, aside from keeping my message short and concise, was it taught me how to memorize, okay? And when I learned how to memorize, dude, I was way better at Accenture as a public speaker and as a presenter and as a salesman because stand-up made me remember 10 bullet points to try to tell 5 jokes in 5 minutes. Once I honed that muscle again, once I learned how to memorize on cue, like now you could give me 10 bullet points and I could probably take 2 hours by myself and memorize them. I wish it was down to 10 minutes, but you know, it takes time. But just that 2 hours can carry you 3 months, 6 months on material, assuming you've done the due diligence to write stuff down. So like, I feel like in society now, we've gotten so used to just looking at our phone or so used to like going off cliff notes that we forget that there is still a very value, just like reading a book is valuable. There's a valuable skill in memorization and nobody is doing it anymore because they don't need to. But those who do and have technology at their disposal will do very well. So ask the right questions and learn to memorize things, which is, again, what joke writing and joke telling is all about. Lastly, I want to say, be original. Okay, I'm reading this I just finished it, actually. A great book. I can put the link if you guys want. 0 to 1. This is not a book review, but just want to, I mean, I posted it on my Instagram, like a quote from literally page 2, because that's how engaged I was quickly. But 0 to 1 is by this guy, Peter Thiel. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Basically, one of the biggest venture capitalists in the world, made a ton of money and a ton of work on PayPal and Facebook and all that stuff. And 0 to 1 basically means don't make incremental improvements. Try to make drastic improvements initially and then iterate, I think. I think I got the book right. I'm not sure. But ultimately, a lot of people, what they try to do is they try to just make something a little bit better than what is rather than trying to find gaps and unique insights. And that's where jokes really stand out. I'll give you an example from joke writing. In the late 90s, Dave Chappelle, arguably one of the top comedians in the world right now, whether or not you find him funny or you agree with his politics, okay, every comedian in the 90s was doing jokes about, what's his name, Bill Clinton, President Bill Clinton, and his transgressions with Monica Lewinsky. So everyone is doing jokes about sex and blowjobs and this and that and the typical stuff. Oh, Bill, oh, the cigar, oh, Bill cheating on his wife, And Dave Chappelle saw that and was like, how can I take an existing joke, or in business's case, an existing product, and turn it on its head? And I think it was Chappelle who also said, great comedy is between, it's like that intersection between originality and insight, and that's where you get real humor, right? So Venn diagram, originality, Venn diagram, humor, and in the middle is the insight and the funny, and that's where comedy really stands out. So originality, you know, not all of it, talking about Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton. But Chappelle was like, he has a special where he talks about that, you know, all he can say about the Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton thing that hasn't been said is, wow, Bill Clinton is famous. Being president is being famous. And I have dreamt of being famous, but imagine somebody, rah, 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 and then they're famous. You know what I mean? Like, imagine being so famous that somebody hooks up with you and then they're famous. And I mean, he said it a lot cruder, and you know, I try to keep this podcast clean, even though I said the word blowjob already. So whatever, he said, imagine somebody does that for you and then they're famous. And if you watch the clip, I think it's Dave Chappelle For What It's Worth or Dave Chappelle Killing Them Softly, one of those stand-up clips. Just Google Dave Chappelle Monica Lewinsky, and you can see people are like, whoa, never heard comedy intersect those two things. And I know maybe the humor is outdated now. I'm not saying do sex jokes, but sex jokes, Bill Clinton, done to death. Dave Chappelle finds a unique angle from a unique point of view, and the crowd responds, okay? And I feel like that joke still, to me, makes me giggle because it was one of the first things I remember from when I was into stand-up, like when I first started observing stand-up comedy, like, wow, how did he think of that when nobody else did? And I feel like with jokes, like, dude, a good joke, a good original joke, or like a really good tweet. Like, there was another comedian called Deanne something who talked about, I think she's like a lesbian comic, and she had talked about how basically a lot of lesbians are just tired of men's garbage. So like, straight guys, get it together, because we're taking all your women. And that was so funny, dude, because it was relatable to straight people and LGBT people, but it was such a unique point of view. Because a lot of times you see gay comics or Indian comics or Asian comics or black comics all doing the same stuff, just talking about the same stuff we've heard 1,000 times. I'm an Arabic comic and I get stopped at airport security, and okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. But when somebody takes that and flips it on its head, like she did, like she made that bit relatable to everybody of how dumb straight guys are. And it was hilarious, dude. So like, when you find a unique point of view on something or a unique idea, like, you know, oh, not just our app is going to be the Uber of China, or the Swiggy of India, or the Uber Eats is going to be Swiggy in India, or, but you have a unique thing and a unique style, then I feel you're really on to something special. So from a business point of view, I don't know. Like, I mean, dude, he even said, like, in the book, like, Facebook didn't want to start for everybody. They wanted to start, like, you start with a small idea and then you expand it, because generally all of humankind can adapt to a niche, right? Niche, niche, whatever it is. So Facebook, for example, college, that's about college kids. It was only for one university. Then it expanded to society as a whole. Your joke can be only about one facet of life. Then it can expand to humor to be about everything else. So that girl started with the lesbian stuff and then made it universal to everybody. Everybody can understand relationships, and people are stupid, and yada, and people are dumb, and yada, yada. So I know I was a bit rambly, even though I tried not to be, but there's a lot to learn from joke writing and jokes in your life, ladies and gentlemen. So just to recap, what do we talk about? Keeping it short, writing it down, being relatable, using silence, timing, be original, finding insight. That's why comedy writing is hard, but that's why creativity, good creativity, can also be hard, because, you know, these things are not easy. I'm trying to give you some examples here, but these examples might have taken people years and years to maybe decades to figure out. But if you can nail it, man, if you can start writing and start reading, listen to podcasts like this, whatever it may be, like, rate, review this podcast. But there's a lot that you can learn from writing jokes. So I'm not saying anybody has to be a comedian. I'm not saying everybody has to be a comedian, I mean. But you can learn a lot from joke writing. So I hope that was helpful for you guys. Let me know if it was. Let me know other suggestions you guys want me to talk about on the podcast. I did go on Twitter earlier today, and I did ask, and people were asking me to talk more about nutrition was one, but another one, oh, I got two more, and let's read these right now. Another one was, what did this guy say? Okay, how different was your office boss to you being a confident speaker compared to other techies who are mostly introverted or maybe even socially awkward? How different was, huh? Well, there you go. I think I already talked about that. That's hilarious. I literally This guy Lakshay on Twitter literally said, how different was your office boss to you being a confident speaker compared to other techies who are mostly introvert or maybe even socially awkward? Okay, techies, here's a hack. Get it? Because you're hackers. And in comedy, coincidentally, if you're doing something not original, you're also a hack, but a different type of hack. You're a hack like, get out of here. You're like everybody else. So how ironic that all of this came together. I did not plan this, even though my camera has cut out. Why am I looking at it? I am also an introverted, awkward techie. That's how I started. That's why I was in the field. But if you want to get ahead in your career, take a 5-minute stand-up comedy class online or in person or whatever it is. Learn to memorize 3 jokes. Learn to deliver them in front of the mirror. You'll probably get promoted a lot faster. I'm saying that is literally one of the best hacks you can do. So again, you don't learn confidence, but you can learn how to write a joke, which will teach you how to public speak, which will teach you how to memorize, which will teach you how to be more confident. So guys, hope you enjoyed this week. Sanjay Mayantala, let me know your comments, and I'll see you guys next week.
Birdie num num. Birdie num num. A birdie num num. Yeah. That's right.